Welcome to the Dream Saver Podcast.
Welcome again, dear listener, to the Dream Saver Podcast. We're here in Laramie, Wyoming, broadcasting live from the Gifts of Grace headquarters. And this week, we've got a very special guest, and a guest that will probably be with us most of the time when we do this podcast, when we bring in some guest speakers and get some input on their story. But our guest speaker today is Chief Legal Officer for Gifts of Grace, Mitchell Schwab, my cousin, and we appreciate the time that he's taken out of his schedule to do this. I don't know if we mentioned this last episode or if it's common knowledge to our listeners, but Mitchell and I are both in the MBA program here at the University of Wyoming, so it's hard to find time for family, for Gifts of Grace stuff, for homework, for other things we have going on in the community. You know, Mitchell here, he's got his hand involved in quite a few things. So we appreciate the time that he's taken out. And Mitch, how you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Good. Yeah, we're excited to have him here. I can honestly say that if it wasn't for Mitchell, Gifts of Grace would not be where it is today, us being our tax-exempt status. He is kind of the unseen backbone of Gifts of Grace. And today, you'll be hearing his story about his involvement in the cause against child trafficking and child exploitation, but also his experience watching the documentary that Gifts of Grace will be hosting in November and October now. I think that's a new development. Is since our last podcast, I don't remember if we had the date set or not, but October 13th in Afton, Wyoming, we will also be showing The Abolitionists, and that's been a challenge to get it into that theater, so we're excited to have it there. So October and November for the state of Wyoming is going to take a big step forward in the fight against child sex trafficking and child exploitation, not just in the Dominican Republic, but in the state of Wyoming. Just in the past few months, I know Mitchell's seen the news, but the rodeo in Cheyenne, the Frontier Rodeo, I think there was 15 people that were arrested for trying to solicit an underage prostitute. I think a month ago, the largest collection of child pornography was found in the house of, you know, like a 65-year-old man. And something happened this last week. I don't remember what it was, but so the cause of human exploitation, it's happening right here in Wyoming. And October, November will be your chance, Wyoming, to get involved in the fight, not just in the Dominican Republic, but across the state of Wyoming. But you know, you didn't come here today to listen to more of me talk. You guys got enough of that last episode. So, Mitch, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on in your life now, and then we'll get into your story and your involvement with Gifts of Grace and the cause against child trafficking.
Yeah. So right now, as Tyler mentioned earlier, we're both in the MBA program here at University of Wyoming. I'm actually a law student as well. I completed a year of law school last year, and this past summer I did a lot of nonprofit legal work for an in-house counsel attorney in Arizona. And while I was doing that, I was away from my wife and baby and found my evenings were very open. And at the time, Tyler contacted me and asked me if I would be willing to do some pro bono work for him in Gifts of Grace. And at the time, I didn't know much about Gifts of Grace. I only knew a bit about Operation Underground Railroad with Tim Ballard. and so that's how I got involved there. But right now, busy, busy schedule, trying to balance the MBA program with other legal work, that continuing legal work that I did for the organization this past summer with Gifts of Grace, as well as the other nonprofit organization that I was a part of in Arizona, all while being a full-time student with the MBA program and a father and a husband. And yeah, it's busy, but it's worth it.
Yeah. So you touched on your family, and I always want to tell listeners that Mitchell's daughter is probably the spunkiest kid I've ever seen in my life. Just tonight, he posted a picture of her doing cartwheels, and I don't know. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen, but one of the cutest things I've ever seen. And So he's got a wonderful new family and great dad, great father. First off, what does your wife think of your involvement with Gifts of Grace and the cause against child trafficking?
You know, that's an interesting question because she 100% stands behind Gifts of Grace and Operation Underground Railroad and what it stands for. The thing is like most people, when they hear about this topic, about the most ungodly things happening to little children, it is heart-wrenching. And it's such a sensitive subject that once it hits people's ears, they immediately close down and say, that's great what you're doing, but I do not want to know any more about it. You know, and that's kind of a similar reaction that she had. However, when I first heard about it, this feeling came over me and I just knew I had to be a part of it because there's this time last year in the law school, we were discussing a case that occurred on the East Coast. Because in many states it's different, but at the time the law was silence is consent. And meaning if you were to stand by and see a crime take place, and it's not the case anymore, but it used to be, if you stood by and you saw a crime take place and you could have intervened and you don't, you're going to be held responsible. Yeah, I kind of wish it was like that still. But that's the thought that comes to my head every time I hear about this child sex trafficking. This thought comes to my head, well, now you know what is happening to these little children all over the world, even in your backyard. You don't even know about it. What are you going to do about it? And I can't stand the thought of going to my maker after this life and seeing these children who were... had the most ungodly things happen to him and say, you knew and you didn't do anything. And sadly, I'm afraid that that's going to happen to most of the people in, on the world today, you know, but not, most people don't see it that way. And that's the difficult task of getting it out. And, that was a long answer to your question about how my wife feels about it. That's just kind of how, I don't know. I think that her mindset kind of is about it. However, she is not against it at all. She's 100% supportive of it and loves the fact that this is, you know, that Tyler and I are willing to put our feet in the mud and try to bring about some good. And there's been no adverse reaction from her regarding it.
That's awesome that you've got her support. And I can vouch for what Mitch has said. You know, it's a hard topic to talk about, you know. I mean, these little kids, you know, some being, I think the youngest that we're working with right now is 5. But I know a guy in Idaho Falls, the youngest that he's working with is 4 years old, that have just been abused by these monsters. And just like Mitch said, I stand with him on that, you know, me and Mitch both are believers. And we believe that action is directly tied with our faith, and that there's something directly involved with our discipleship that involves serving the poor and fighting for justice for those who are oppressed. And I can't stand the thought either of you know, facing God and facing these kids one day and just, you know, telling them, I'm sorry, I didn't have time, I was busy, I had this, you know, I had soccer games, I had my MBA program, you know, all these things that just aren't as important as fighting for these kids. And that's not to say that some of these other things aren't important, but now we know, and we refuse to just stand by and let it happen, because just like Mitch said, silent is consent, and it's not okay with me, it's not okay with Mitch, as you've just heard. We invite you guys to join us, to visit our website, to become a fanatic, to become a donor, and help us in this great cause, and help other organizations that are fighting the same thing. And I mentioned Mitchell's belief. Mitch, how does your faith influence your work and keep you motivated while going through some tough times? I mean, this being involved in the nonprofit, as you know, it's not easy. There are things that come up. There's frustrations that come up. you know, finances is always a thing. Time is always a thing. And hearing some of these stories, you know, Mitch has heard some of these stories. I remember when we hear something about the kids, you know, I immediately call him, and he's always the second to know after me. And, you know, I know that Mitch he's lost sleep this summer over some of the stories that we've had to hear. So how does your faith help you to keep motivated in this cause?
For me, it's everything. As I mentioned earlier about going to before my maker with regards to all these children that are affected, but not only that, my faith, how do I put this? I believe every child is innocent, pure, innocent little child. And the thought that these little children can have such horrible things done to them and people not be held accountable for it, it just makes me sick. That's why what got me involved with Gifts of Grace, when I heard about what Tim Ballard and Operation Underground Railroad were doing, I was just, you know, I was so excited to hear that there's people out there trying to rescue these kids, the ones who are already in that situation. And now with Gifts of Grace and trying to prevent it, I can't remember who the quote is by. I want to say Benjamin Franklin, but I'm not sure, where he says, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I totally believe that one little bit, if we can prevent a kid from ever having to go through that, because once you rescue the children, I mean, that's fantastic. You finally rescued them from this horrible life. But imagine if we could stop it from ever occurring to where we didn't need to rescue them. How many kids' lives could be spared from having to go through that? And for me, my faith in God is what propels me every day with school, with my family, everything. And so to do something, to be involved in something even bigger than my own little teeny life, you know, that's something that's superhuman. Like, I don't feel that I could do any of that on my own, and I'm sure Tyler feels the same way. And Tyler can attest to this, that as soon as I put my foot in the Gifts of Grace bucket, you could say, in trying to help get it established, there are no coincidences. It was unbelievable how things played out. I mean, most nonprofits, it takes months to go from being incorporated. Then you have to get your board. You have to get everything set up. You need a website. You need everything. You need donors. And then you can finally start going for tax-exempt status. And that usually takes, 6 months to a year, I think.
Yeah,
at least.
That's what we read.
And, I mean, we were incorporated, and within 2.5 months, we were already tax-exempt from the IRS. I mean, that's unheard of. And just step by step, everything that's happened has been unbelievable. I mean, even the website. We were establishing the website, and the day we decided to make the website go live, next thing we knew, there was a discount being offered, and we got the website for like a third of the cost that it normally is for 2 years. I mean, just everything, like that, just blessing after blessing after blessing. And it's made me realize that this is not the work of us. Like, if you're doing something to help little kids, it is something from our maker. You know, it's nothing to where it makes you feel very inadequate and humble. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. And that's so true. I mean, when Mitch puts his mind something anyway, like it's hard to stop him. And, you know, being the CEO and the founder of this organization, the people that we work with are, you know, so great and so motivated, but it's kind of hard to stay on people to get things done. But Mitchell, he gets things done right away. And, I can tell you that as a man who shares Mitchell's faith, he puts it into action every day, and nothing will stop him. And it's great to have him on our team. And I'm so thankful that he's on our team, because I know that there's a lot of kids, not only in the Dominican Republic, but across the world, who are being blessed by his efforts. But I'm glad he keeps mentioning Operation Underground Railroad. We can't say enough about them and the support that they've given us. They're the ones that produced the documentary, The Abolitionist, that we'll be talking about later on this show. And Tim Ballard, he's the one that first got me interested first opened my eyes to what, you know, child trafficking was, and that led me to kind of realize what I had seen in the Dominican Republic and what goes on in the Dominican Republic. So you know, in a way, he's kind of at the heart of what we do too, just because he kind of brought us both to awareness of the cause and the issue. And his organization does great things and have done great things and are continuing to do great things. And we've got an ongoing partnership with them. We promote their movie because it promotes awareness for the cause against child trafficking all over the world. But also we work with members of their organization to put on fundraisers. And and the head of OUR's aftercare program is partnering with us now to look to, in the future, creating a rescue home and a rehabilitation program for these kids in the Dominican Republic. So, you know, they're great, great to work with, and we're so thankful for them, and hope we can continue to work with them in the future. Mitch, I want to talk about Addie.
Oh.
Addie is Mitchell's daughter. We talked about her doing the cartwheels and stuff. And you know, ever since she was born, I think she's been, I don't know, like a year and a half ago, 2 years. She almost
14 months.
14 months. Mitchell's a changed guy ever since. I mean, he's always been a good guy, obviously. But
obviously.
But ever since she was born, I mean, it's just been, you know, he just takes on that responsibility, and he's just a father now. So I'm curious, Mitchell, how has Addie's birth and Addie's presence in your life affected your mindset with the cause against child trafficking? And how does she motivate you to keep on the good fight even when times are hard?
Yeah, to answer that question, I feel like I kind of need to back up, though, before she was born. Because I guess I'll go back to when I was living in Montana, when I first heard about the child sex trafficking issue. I had no idea it was such a prevalent issue. A book came out called The Lincoln Hypothesis, and I loved that book. And in the book,
written by Tim Ballard, by the way, so another shout out for him.
Yeah. So if you haven't read that book, I highly recommend it. It's incredible. However, I read that book, and in it he mentions his nonprofit and what he used to do for a living, and that's why he has that strong connection to Abraham Lincoln, because he's an abolitionist. And I thought, that is really cool. That's a cool thing that he's doing clear out there. And I just always viewed it as such a distant thing. And as time went on, it just kept popping up. Tim Ballard would be online or on the news, an article would be about him. I'd be like, man, this man is doing some good in the world. Good for him. He's clear out there, you know, just a distant entity. And then my wife and I had our little girl, Addie. And it was soon after that, I saw another article, or it was either a video or an article, I can't quite remember, from Operation Underground Railroad. And I think it was promoting the movie, The Abolitionist. And they talked about a little teeny girl. And I think she was 8 years old and pregnant. And it was, my mind, it's incredible what happens when you become a father. Your mind totally changes. I don't think about myself ever. I'm always thinking about her. I don't know what it is. You know, I mean, it's really weird. But so when I heard that, I immediately pictured my little girl. And all of a sudden I was taken aback and thought about what would I do if it was my child that was kidnapped and had to have these horrible atrocities done to her every single day, all day long. And I thought, oh man, I would be going door to door all day, every day, begging for people to help. There's nothing I would do to stop. I would never stop trying to save my little girl, doing everything I could. And then it occurred to me, these are somebody's little girl that this is happening to. And then it took hold of me pretty hard. And I realized, this isn't some distant issue. There are parents out there that are suffering in a way that I can't even imagine. And that totally changed my view on Operation Underground Railroad and for that gift of grace.
that when a little kid is rescued or prevented from having this happen, those parents are rescued also. So this is not a distant issue. It's an issue that I think everybody needs to take hold of and realize that could be you. That could be your little girl. And once you do that, or once you can picture that, I think there's some big changes that can occur.
I agree 100%. And, you know, I'm personally not a father. There's a lot of things you said too that I personally, you know, I can't relate to, but, I can tell you that I love the Dominican people. Mitch, he has never, I mean, Mitch dedicates a lot of his time to, furthering Gifts of Grace mission and promoting it and attending our events and helping out with the website and the podcast. And he's got a great blog that he's written on our website. If you get a chance, check it out. He'll elaborate more on his feelings that we've touched on in this podcast. But one of the things that struck me about Mitch is, you know, I have a tie to the DR because I spent two years there and, you know, those people just captured a piece of my heart, and especially the kids. The kids are just so sweet. But Mitch, he's never met a Dominican kid, but he, this summer, started to learn Spanish. Started to learn Spanish.
Started is the key there.
but he did it. So when he goes to the DR and he meets some of the kids that we work with, you know, he can share his thoughts and feelings with them in their own language. He can tell them, you know, that he loves them, that he fights for them, and he does all these things for them, so that they know that they've got someone fighting for them. Because I think that's the big thing is that I've noticed when talking with some of these kids and some of the people we have in the DR is that these kids don't think they have anybody. They don't think that anybody cares about their situation. They just think that this is the hand they've been dealt, and you know, honestly, they're wrong. We do care about their situation. We're going to fight for them. And, you know, I can't wait for the day that me and Mitch travel to the DR together. And so he can meet some of these kids that he's fought so hard for, and that he can share his love for them. And they know about him. They know what he's doing for them. And I just can't wait for them to thank him in person as well. And, so I'm super grateful for what he's doing with Gifts of Grace and for his love for the Dominican people that he's never really even met. And did you have something to share off the blog or?
No, I'm just trying to pull it up on the phone, but
okay. The internet's not working. But the, to check out his blog, it's giftsofgracewy.org. And there's a blog tab, click on it and scroll down to the bottom and you will find his blog. I think it's titled Why I Became an Abolitionist and a Fanatic. So if you get a chance, check that out.